Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tennessee falls to Alabama 34-20. We'll take your thoughts on that. We're going to get into the weekend of NFL action as well. Coming up later this hour, Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to all that. Right now, let's go to the text line. Drew on the text line talking about the officiating in the Tennessee-Alabama game. Says, the officiating did suck. I felt like Vegas called after the first quarter and said, we got to let old Nicky win one in Bama. But the reason they lost was the play calling. They ran into situations where they clearly needed to pass. Milton consistently overthrew players in clutch situations. They crapped their pants in the big game. I thought they were ready, but they gift-wrapped that game and did everything they could to give that game to Alabama. This is from Drew on the text line.
Yeah, the old, let Nick win. I saw somebody, too, also was like, this ref is a real estate agent in Tuscaloosa.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Just, again, I mean, we have to now have the Bama fans from last year resurface. So, okay, I asked Zach. Zach says, football and other efforts, says, it, not that it's unique to UT fans, but there isn't a fan base who uses a crutch of refs to regularly explain away losses more than the Vols. It's every sport, too, not just football. Wow. That is quite a charge there from Zach. You think is that fair?
No. I mean, look.
I mean,
when you live around a large group of fan base, you always think that they're the ones that.
Right. If you ask Michigan State fans who just watched their team lose 49-0 and also put up a picture of Hitler before the game.
I missed that one.
Yeah. They'll tell you. Oh, you really?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Well. I don't have time to get into it, but they'll tell you that that's Michigan fans. If you go, you know, I mean, like you said, I mean, Alabama, Auburn, if you get into that discussion, I'm sure Auburn fans will say, but Alabama, every time they don't get the call, they cry about it, and Bama fans say, you know. So I think, Zach, yes, I think you're being provincial there, Zach. How about that?
Cam on the text line says, but notice most Bama fans are not saying the game was fairly called. But instead, they're just saying, well, that was us last year, and you weren't saying anything. Last year, Bama had 17 penalties, while Tennessee had 6. There was a couple important calls in that game that didn't rack up the actual yardage it should have. The penalty on the kickoff killed us, really helped keep building their momentum. Talking about what penalty on the kickoff are we talking about here? I just remember the fair catch on the kickoff.
Yeah,
it was called the fair catch.
I think that's what he means, right?
Okay.
I think, and people, someone asked, like, have we talked about that? Yes, and also, first of all, the clapping penalty. I mean, that is a thing, and
that was that one I had a big problem with.
Well, but see, even in the press box, because like Staples, like, oh yeah, they got him for that. Like, I mean, that's been sort of an emphasis,
right? But he was looking at he's looking to the sideline and he's looking at his cornerback, signaling something.
Yeah.
It was a terrible call.
Well. Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
That one I did have.
I didn't see the replay of that from the press box. It looked like it was like, oh yeah, like you could see it before they called it. You know what I mean? But that's a thing. The clapping. I don't know the fair catch thing. I did not know the rule. It's a weird rule. Like you said, it's ticky tack. I mean, we can go through. There were some calls that were bad that cost Tennessee, but like, it's just not the story of the game. And last year. The PI, I forgot that they had 17 penalties. Bama did in that game. But like
a lot of them were false starts, but yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. So you got a lot of pre-snap stuff because of the environment. I mean, the PI last year was the right call. It was late in the play, and it wasn't like a complete mugging, but it was the right call.
Yeah.
Everybody stop. Tennessee won last year. Bama won this year.
They did. And they won. Look, when you get outscored 27-0 in the second half, it's hard to sit there and look at officiating and be like, yeah, that's why they lost. I mean, you got your butt kicked in the second half. That's what happened. I mean, yeah. You got totally dominated in the second half. And it is amazing, like, and, you know, I had some Alabama friends talking to me about this, just like how different they can look from, like, half to half so far this year. I mean, there are times where they just look like, can they get out of their own way offensively? And then they come out and look like they did in the second half. It's not a Tennessee thing. They've done that a couple of times so far this year.
Yeah, and now, I mean, they've got a path to Atlanta and I guess maybe to get in the playoff. But, like, that team to me is not – they should not be one of the four teams in the college football playoff. I don't think they're good enough. I do give them credit for being a resilient team.
Yes.
Because they almost were like knocked out in this one. And you know, as some people have pointed out, let's also remember they still have a lot more talent in Tennessee. So, I mean, I think in the second half, some of it also was just like a little bit of a will and just some better players, you know, kind of winning some of those matchups that they weren't winning as dominantly in the first half.
I got a text that says, one or two bad calls can totally change the momentum / course of the game. Tennessee's pass rush is one of the best in the nation, but Alabama didn't hold once. That's from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Yeah. Again, I don't disagree. Like, 1 for 5 is a head-scratcher. And I'm sure that there could have been a holding. And again, we talked about there was a holding with Barron, you know, the arm around his neck on a touchdown. So look, I don't disagree, but there are a whole bunch of plays and they had nothing to do with the officials that were more important in changing the game. Zach is, by the way, is a Bama fan. Oh, I see, Zach.
So there.
Okay, he says, but it's an objective observation being an SEC fan for 34 years.
It is not.
Now, I will. So, I do think that Tennessee's Twitter presence is special.
It's a little different. I'll grant.
But
a little bit different.
But I don't, like, I don't follow, like, Tiger Twitter, as in LSU Tiger Twitter. What are those people like? You know? I mean, I can't think they're much different. Like, the ones who are really outspoken on Twitter.
I mean, God bless all Twitter.
It's, oh, man. It's the only reason I'm still hanging around there.
So, overall, if you're a Tennessee fan today, obviously you're crushed by this Alabama game. You are 5-2. You have another road game coming up this week taking on Kentucky. I do think there are going to be a lot of Tennessee fans as the week goes on talking about a quarterback change. It's not happening this week.
No. Oh, no, no. No, not after. I asked Milton, by the way, if that was his best performance.
Yeah.
And he said no. He said that's still to come. Then I'm like, and then someone was like, so he knocked down your idea. And I'm like, actually, I think he just confirmed that he thinks it was his best, right? Because his whole thing is like, no, there's even better
coming.
It's not
up.
Like he pointed at anything before it as better.
No.
Right? And that, to me, that was his best. That was his best game, easily his best half. That was a better half. I mean, you could say the Clemson game in the Orange Bowl was, I guess, better game than this. But
well, look, the numbers are good. He played really well in the first half. It's when you score 0 points in the second half, it's hard to.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, yeah. His best game is still just it's not great.
Right. Like he again, I did not when the final whistle blew on Saturday, as I'm sitting up there in anguish in the Predators press box, I wasn't sitting there thinking Joe Milton lost the game for Tennessee today. Like, it just, there's a lot of things. I mean, Heupel, not great on Saturday.
No.
From a lack of an adjustment standpoint, from a play calling standpoint, from certainly a decision standpoint on fourth down, like, it wasn't very good.
And just from
Josh Heupel,
and just his team melting down like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to go on him. Josh from Dixon says, I must have woke up in Bama this morning. It sounds like Bama Sports Talk Radio. You know, I was listening to some Bama Sports Talk Radio as I was starting to drive yesterday. We do not sound like Bama Sports Talk Radio. Heard about someone yesterday was like, and how dare they ever make Josh Heupel coach of the year? I hope they learn their lesson. I was like, oh, boy, this is going to be good.
Yeah, it's real nice. Do we sound like a bunch of – are we WHMR for Alabama today?
Bunch of Bama homers.
Because that's me.
Here.
Definitely love me some Alabama. It's
yeah.
Good stuff.
Your dad does.
He does.
He's enjoying his time today, isn't he?
He's thoroughly enjoying his time today. There's no question about that. The Heupel part of this, and we're going to get into this a little bit more at 7:45, but some of the conversation on Heupel, I guess it's not surprising because, Joe, there was some of this after the Florida game too, which was even more incredible to me. But, you know, Heupel's going to lose some football games as they move forward. Like, after every loss, does it have to turn into a, I just don't know. Like, there's this one guy on Twitter, and we'll talk about this a little bit more at 7:45, but he was talking about how Heupel's hit his ceiling, and it's like, well, how could you possibly know that? Like, he may have, like, he may never have an 11-2 season again like he did a year ago. I have no clue. But to, like, sit here and think that you know that Josh Heupel has hit his ceiling, how could you possibly know that?
Right.
It just it boggles my mind.
It reminds me of people who absolutely know that Caleb Williams is going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. Different, but, you know, same idea. Yeah.
Other people think he should just not play anymore.
Although some people are now like, yeah, there's that. Also, some people are like, maybe Drake May's better.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough day for both of them on Saturday.
Yes. Yeah, but, look, Heupel won 11 games in his second year after taking over a total bleep show. He had incredible quarterback play. So that's what some people say, generational quarterback, and other than that, he's an 8-9 win coach.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. I think if Nico turns out to be what they thought he is, and you look at how this defense is getting better, you could see how they could be awfully good in the next couple of years.
615-737-1025. We'll get back into Tennessee and Alabama a little bit later in the program. Coming up next, we'll go through the weekend of action in the NFL, including some important results in the AFC South. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, a wild weekend in the NFL. Some results that were a little bit head-scratching, including the New England Patriots taking down the Buffalo Bills. Mike Vrabel in attendance in the owner's box.
Oh.
With Robert Kraft in New England being inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame this weekend. And the Patriots, in honor of Vrabel, taking down the Buffalo Bills 29-25 yesterday. Your thoughts?
Thank you for bringing that up. How dare he? How dare Mike Vrabel go to another team and wear a red jacket?
I saw some Titans fans actually upset about him sitting in the owner's box. With Robert Kraft.
Yeah. There was a tweet from a guy who covers him for like the Boston Herald, I think. It was like, has this ever happened before? Like an active coach in season,
yeah,
the coach of another team in the owner's box of a different team. That's a fair question.
It is a fair question.
Maybe not, but yeah, it's kind of a
unique special circumstance
there for Vrabel getting into the Patriots Hall of Fame. So, yeah, I'd say.
You think they were working out trade details while they were sitting there together in the box? Yeah, it's like, what would you give up
for me
in order to acquire me?
It's like, I'm the GM too. What would you give up for me? Yeah. Trade myself.
First and third?
Yeah.
First and second?
I mean.
What do you think?
What is it possible that Jared today is going to flip out about this, about Vrabel being in there?
It's certainly possible.
I am so here for it.
It's possible.
He's like two Titans losses away from just straight up fire Vrabel. He's right, oh, about
yeah.
two.
Yeah.
About two away. But I tweeted like a joke tweet about that, and then some Titans fans thought I like really was mad at him, and I was like, this is why. One more reason not to engage in Twitter. But, yeah, how about that win for the Pats, by the way? I mean, big-time stuff from Mac Jones.
It really was.
In that game, some serious big-time throws. You got a bunch of teams. You know, the Bears get win, too. The Pats get win, too.
Broncos.
The Giants get win, too. The Broncos get win, too. A bunch of teams that are, you know, trying to fight with the Titans for Caleb Williams who are winning, so.
Maybe.
No, here we go.
I got a sneaky contender for a very high draft pick.
Oh,
and
yeah?
I could show you on film yesterday, yes.
Are you done with Jordan Love now?
No, but they're very bad, I can tell you that. So they're going to be in the mix for a pretty high pick. Maybe not number one overall, but they're going to be pretty bad. They're pretty terrible.
You think somebody will trade for LaFleur? Let's get some more coach trades going.
I'd give him away for a seventh-round pick, so that'd be nice. The Browns taking down the Colts yesterday, 39-38. What a wild game that was. So the Colts are leading, and Deshaun Watson gets hurt, wasn't able to come back in. P.J. Walker comes in, not P.J. Harvey, and P.J. Walker throws 15 of 32, 178 yards, does throw the pick in that game. Gardner Minshew yesterday, 15 of 23, 305 yards, two touchdowns and a pick against that Cleveland Browns defense. He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Out there.
Apparently Jim Schwartz is the problem, huh?
I guess so.
Jim Schwartz, you're the problem.
Also, 168 yards on the ground for the Colts. 75 from Jonathan Taylor, 57 from Zach, don't call me Le'Veon Bell Moss, out there for the Colts. The only big problem I had, it was a good game. You know, Colts fans are really upset about the the call at the end of the game on pass interference, which we'll get to in just in a second. The only problem I had with the Colts yesterday was their horrific uniform combination they were wearing, that awful black helmet and whatever those blue jerseys were. Just terrible. They looked like a giant bruise out there.
Those were bad. Look, I agree with Colts fans that the it's unfortunate. You get the strip sack, basically, right? The game's over.
Yep.
But that was the right call. I mean, that was the right call. It was illegal use of hands, and he totally impeded him way farther than you're allowed to do that. You got to call that. I agree that the pass interference on the Browns in the end zone was a bad call.
Bad.
Let's remember, though, that was also first and goal. So, they move it up because of that, and then eventually they get the run in. But you don't know what happens in the sequence after that. If they, like, you have three more shots from there, you don't know what's going to happen. I agree. But it wasn't like it was fourth and goal and then called that, it was first down.
Yep.
The biggest thing that bothered me about that game, so they score and they're up a point and there's 15 seconds left.
Yep.
The Colts have two timeouts. They have a very slim chance, but they have two timeouts and 15 seconds left. We've seen it. I mean, think about that AFC title game a couple years ago. Shane Steichen calls a timeout before the two-point.
I know.
And I don't care if you had nine guys on defense. Let them have whatever. Take a penalty. Let them have the two. How could you possibly cut your timeouts in half on the two-point conversion? I'm sorry, but that's one of those, like, in-the-moment coaching things where you're like, dude, that is just malpractice. That's, somewhat reminiscent of, like, the Titans in London that's letting Kyle Phillips go back there and, give the Ravens three free points.
It's bad.
That's bad.
I mean, it probably doesn't end up mattering anyway, but you can't do that in that situation.
It probably doesn't matter, but you don't know, and you sure as heck have to have both of those timeouts.
Absolutely. Yeah, no question about
Whether they're up one on you or three on you, doesn't matter.
So a 39-38 win by the Browns against the Colts. The Colts dropped to 3-4. Jacksonville already played on the Thursday night game this week, so they're in first place in the division right now. Look, I still, even in the loss – the Colts look like they're better than the Titans. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about it. They look like they're better than the Titans. I mean, Minshew, I don't believe is like some long-term quarterback answer, but he's pretty good. Like, he's a decent option to have for them, and honestly, probably should have been starting the whole time over Anthony Richardson.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, if you're going to go with the rookie.
I'm of the belief they shouldn't have gone with the rookie, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well, they got him hurt, so you're right now.
They did.
But Minshew is definitely – he's at the top of the list probably of like the journeyman sort of fringe starter backup guys who you plug in and he can play some pretty good football for you.
Good.
He was good. I mean, Jim Schwartz had no answers for him.
He didn't.
How about that?
What a performance by Jim Schwartz in that defense, 38 to the Colts yesterday.
Also, have we mentioned the Lions?
That's what I was about to get to.
Have we mentioned them?
38-6 against the Lions. What a beatdown by the Ravens yesterday. Lamar Jackson.
A mighty team that will not yield.
357 yards, three touchdown passes for Lamar Jackson yesterday. Pretty good. They have 5-2, and I feel like nobody's talking about him in the AFC. They're just, here they are, and they just continue to win.
That's the thing. I was listening to the ESPN radio this morning, unsportsmanlike.
Correct.
And they were talking about how this is more about the Lions not being good than the Ravens being bad. First of all, I'm enjoying the Lions. I mean, let's all pump the brakes on they're the best team in the NFC. I mean, they're not on the top tier, okay? I mean, they're probably going to win the division because the division is cheeks. But they're not, they're a pretty good team. The Ravens, with Lamar and that offense, Monken, what he's done, and what Lamar is doing, and, I mean, with everything, he has receivers now. He has multiple options along with Andrews. Man, if they just had, honestly, if they just had one more running back to go with Gus Edwards, they, to me, are creeping into the discussion of they should be taken seriously as a contender.
Yeah, I agree.
AFC.
Speaking of contenders in the AFC, Kansas City 31, LA 17 yesterday. The Chiefs improved to 6-1. Mahomes, 32 of 42, 424 yards passing, four touchdowns and a pick, and Travis Kelce, 12 catches, 179 yards, and a touchdown yesterday. The firing the coach part of this, it may be getting close to being time for Brandon Staley.
Yeah, they just
– they suck.
Yeah, not very good. Herbert doesn't look very good.
He does not.
That seems like one of those situations – I know they brought in Kellen Moore and everything, but one of those situations where – and maybe Moore takes over if they fire Staley in season, but – You got to get the most out of Justin Herbert. Indy Ben is here with refs robbed us of what was otherwise a great game. I hope you're not complaining about the strip sack. That was the right call. I mean, the PI call, it was uncatchable. You could call holding. Again, it was first and goal. I mean, it's so much, so far beyond the refs there. But I get it. Tough loss. You want to blame the refs. Ryan from Chicago is talking trash about Jordan Love on the text line for you. Just want you to know.
I mean, he's not been very good lately. No. If you're the Bears,
meanwhile, the Bears are better without Justin Fields at quarterback.
If you're the Bears, you might want to actually beat him at some point before you. there is that.
You might want to.
The Chargers part of this, I'm pulling up their schedule right now. So they're 2-4. Obviously, they've invested a ton in that roster. We talked about that when the Titans beat them here. You're 2-4. You just get thumped yesterday by Kansas City. Shout out to Josh Palmer. Good game for him yesterday. 5 catches, 133 yards for Josh Palmer. But I'm looking at their schedule, and it's really difficult to figure out how they're that bad. You know, they've got the Bears coming up, so you would think that they could win that game, which is a Sunday night football game, so get excited. Bears and Chargers next weekend. Then it's the Jets, the Lions, the Packers, the Ravens, and the Patriots. Like, they should win a lot of those games, and yet I watched them play, and I have a feeling they're going to end up like 7-10 and miss the playoffs. With all that talent, everybody they have on their roster, they look like a 7-10 football team.
Okay, say that schedule again.
They have the Bears, and then the Jets on the road, the Lions at home, Packers on the road, Ravens at home, Patriots on the road.
Yeah, I think
at 2-4.
Yeah, I think you may be right there. I think you got a good point there. I'm sorry, I've got someone asking for the Lions fights. I'm not going to sing the Lions fights on today. But no, I will say that my little brother went to the game, was very excited. Didn't work out.
I got to say, 38-6, I did not see that one coming.
Apparently, Jared said the Ravens are bad. Is that right?
Well, they look pretty good.
LD's always coming to tattle on Jared here.
Yes. We'll have more on the in a weekend of NFL action coming up next. Get into the Titans as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rob Rand at 745, Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Got some tickets to give away. See the Preds take on the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Vancouver Canucks tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. 615-737-1025. Taking your thoughts on all things NFL. Titans with a bye week over the weekend. They're back at it this week. And Joe, it's now back into game week. I'm watching the Falcons play yesterday. They get a win, a last-second field goal to take down the Bucs. So the Falcons coming in here this week. Arthur Smith and company. That's a big win for them yesterday in the division against Tampa Bay. And I'm watching them play. And, you know, Ridder has been pretty bad so far this year. He did make some plays yesterday. He had a fumble that he just dropped by the goal line, which was interesting to watch yesterday too. So I look at Ridder, and I think maybe the Titans have a pretty good chance defensively to hang in there, because I don't think he's very good. I like Arthur Smith as a play caller. Robinson, we'll see. I don't know what was going on with him yesterday, whether it was a migraine or whatever it was with
him not feeling well, but
you know, basically didn't get the ball in that game. So will he be better? Is he going to be completely healthy by the time the Titans game rolls around? We'll wait and see on that front, but obviously, you know, we're going to spend a lot of this week talking about the quarterback situation for the Titans heading into this one. But, you know, this is a game that, even if Tannehill is playing, is a losable game for the Titans on this guy. I'm not sure there's a game that's not losable for the Titans based on what we've seen to this point. But this is a big one. They got the Oilers throwback jerseys coming up this weekend, so I'm sure the fans will be fired up about that. Maybe Will Levis makes his first start and he's in a Oilers jersey. What about that?
That would be something, right? Yeah, it's going to be one of those two guys, and you know, it's absolutely a losable game. I mean, the Falcons are. Ridder has been bad. I actually watching yesterday. I mean, I thought he did some good things. He was not terrible yesterday. Turning it over is still a problem. Like you said, you got the basically you're running in for a touchdown, and then it's not really a game late. And they pretty much handled the Bucs on the road, which, by the way, remember a week ago in the Lions did that? It was like, ooh, Lions wanted the Bucs. Well, how impressive. Yeah. Bucs aren't good. Falcons are okay. They're certainly good. They do play physical. They've gotten better on defense this year, and they run the heck out of the football, especially when they have both Algier and Robinson going.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at Wes and Clarksville's text. He said, after watching the Eagles game and seeing A.J. Brown ball out, I can see why John Robinson is gone. Like, we're just now coming to the conclusion that A.J. Brown is helping out in Philadelphia. Aaron on the text line says, used to type John Robinson into the Twitter search and read the very calm reactions during the Eagles game last night.
Yeah, well, someone was like, I want to hire John Robinson and fire him again for the A.J. Brown trade. Yeah. It's a tough scene for the I've been going back and forth with someone that's like, you know, good for AJ that he got out of here so that he could flourish like this. And I'm like, well, he was good here. I mean, I don't know that he has I don't know that he has 125 plus yards, five straight games, which only Calvin Johnson in 2012 has ever done in the NFL. If he's here,
probably not.
I don't know about that, but I mean, he was also really good here. He'd be really good anywhere. That's why you keep a player like that.
But, hey, that's another good example of throwback jerseys. Looked good last night in Philadelphia. I think the Titans are going to look great on Sunday, aesthetically, and then we'll see how they play football.
Love the unis. Love the unis. Yeah. It's obviously the trading deadline. Is it possible something happens this week?
I don't know. A lot of chatter out there about Byard now in terms of, like, could Byard be available. And by
pretty
chatter,
clear,
I mean
some
like
people are
speculation
interested.
And people are calling about it.
Yep. Pretty clear some people are interested in Byard, which I get. You know, if you trade a Byard, I mean, to me, you're punting on the season. So are the Titans ready to punt on the season? I know some of their fans are. It's a whole bunch of people in that building who have worked really hard to try to win football games this year.
I would love to know, like, what is the phone call that you've got to receive if you're Vrabel and Carthon? Like, what's the compensation coming back your way where you're like, okay, yeah, we'll do that with Kevin Byard? Because I can't imagine. Like, Kevin Byard, I think, is a really good player, obviously. I can't imagine you're giving up more than, like, a fourth for him, right?
And so there's people, there's NFL people projecting, like, a third.
Would you do that?
Well, I would do that if I'm ready to punt on my season. Right. I mean, you need draft capital. But it's not like one third-round pick is like, oh, well, drop everything, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're resolved to sell. That's not a deal that makes you sell. Like, you have to be decided that you're going to sell. Right. And if you do, then, yeah, I would take a third-round pick point.
And it's a great point you bring up. Like, I don't think there's a deal out there available that makes the Titans sell.
No.
Like, they've got it's not like they've got, you know, a bevy of first-rounders coming back their way if they start trading some of these people off. So it will have to have been an internal decision that they have made this week to go that route. And I still, as we sit here in the morning of October 23rd, just over a week before the deadline, I don't see him doing it. I think if you're a Titans fan hoping for like a super active deadline of selling people off, I just don't think you're going to see it. I could be wrong, but I don't buy it.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen a few receivers get traded in the league already, but I think there's a lot of fan bases who are hopeful that in the next week there's going to be some big things happen that they're just going to be disappointed because they probably won't. And my guess is the Titans don't move anybody this week. And then maybe if they lose to the Falcons, maybe then some conversations that may have happened get rekindled. That's how I would see it playing out. I mean, I know it seems ridiculous. If you want to look at it the way of, yeah, base it on this game and then go either this way or that way. But the bottom line is, if you lose at home to the Falcons and you're 2-5, to me, then it's a lot more easy to talk yourself into selling off some of your high-priced veterans, getting some draft capital, and just looking to next year.
Caleb on the text line says, Titans could maybe use Deontay Foreman as well. A lot of former Titans making plays around the league. Foreman did have a big day yesterday. He had 16 carries, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns for the Bears.
I thought he had 3 touchdowns. You only had 2?
Only 2. Oh, well, okay. 2 on the ground.
I think he might have caught one, too.
He had one through the one through the air, too. So, yeah, 3 total touchdowns.
3 touchdown Foreman, yeah. Running back's not their problem.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you know, could they use him? Sure. Yeah. But I think they're also pretty set there at running back.
To be fair, Nate Davis has not been very good. No. Yeah, just get all the running backs.
Just get all the running backs. Look, Deontay Foreman was good. It's good to see him continuing to make plays around the league.
He's a pretty good player.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you want to talk about former Titans making plays that got away, there's really one guy that stands out above the others.
Josh Reynolds for the Lions.
Yes, Josh Reynolds is making plays left and right. Yes.
Yeah, it's you're just going to have to – to me – I said this a long time ago. You should root for the guy.
I've been pretty happy this year in terms of, like, I felt like last year we were talking about A.J. Brown so much.
Right.
And then, like, this year it kind of felt like, okay, well, like, he just goes a separate way. Titans fans have kind of let it go. But just the numbers he's putting up are just dragging it back into the conversation. Of, oh, my God, he's had 125 yards receiving or more in five consecutive games. And then you look at this crap fest the Titans are throwing out there offensively, and you're just like, geez. Yeah. We're gonna look back and, like, the moment where the Titans franchise changed is that one. That's what it is.
No doubt. Yeah, and that's the thing. It had to be something extraordinary, because you're right. It was kind of like, okay, he's on the Eagles now, and move on and see about Treylon Burks, who, by the way, he's a big story this week.
Yes.
Treylon Burks. I mean, they need him back. They need him to make plays. But A.J. Brown's just dragging himself back in the conversation. He's just doing so well that you can't not talk about him.
Yeah. I mean, the other part, my dad and I were talking about this too. And I know it's probably nothing in terms of, like, there's no correlation between it, but it is kind of amazing to me that, you know, we talked about the injuries during his time here, and he goes to Philadelphia, and it's just a clean bill of health ever since he stepped foot on the field in Philadelphia. Yeah. He's played every game. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. That point was made in my whiny column the day after he was traded, too. I was right. Commenters on that column, I'm waiting for your apologies.
Adam in Portland on the text line says, the only thing in the world I hate more than the NFL offseason is being in the middle of the season and having to look forward to the offseason. It's so depressing. By the way, the best week of the season for the Titans by far. Didn't lose. And also, hopefully, have a new quarterback taking snaps this week. Tighten up. That's from Adam from Portland.
Then he adds,
who's rejuvenated after the bye week.
Although, then he adds, also, every time I see AJ, I puke in my mouth. Like, look, what is this? Go to hell, AJ Brown. Come on. What did the guy ever do to you? This completely overblown.
He didn't trade himself.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, he played hardball. He and his agent played hardball with the contract.
Which,
oh,
by
my
the way,
gosh, trade him.
The exact same thing. This is the most incredible part. It was the exact same thing that Deebo Samuel did, right. And magically he ended up signed with the 49ers.
Yep, he's pretty good when he's healthy. He's had more injury issues than AJ has since then.
Let me ask you a question. I'm dead serious about this, too. I still think, like, over the large part, when you factor in the entire equation, like, John Robinson's a decent general manager. He just obviously has made a terrible move. Like, is this one move going to keep him out of getting another general manager job? I mean, he's not anywhere right now.
Yeah.
Like, is he not going to be a GM again in the league based on the A.J. Brown trade?
I mean, that's a hard one for me to buy. But I get
it. It's why he got fired. I don't care what anybody else says over there. It's why he got fired.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you would think that if he wants to get back into the mix, that the entirety of the track record. The thing is, it's not just – Right. I mean, it's also the drafts and a lot of other things. Think about Dupree, Beasley, Clowney, Julio, Farley, Isaiah Wilson, Dylan Raidens. You know,
shout out to Julio for getting in there last night too. By the way,
yeah, I saw that. I mean, it was a pretty sharp decline in overall performance there for a couple of years at the end. But I'm with you. I still think overall he has a good track record as a GM, and I would think he would have another chance if he wants to get back into it. Maybe he doesn't want to get back into it.
Maybe not. I don't know. By the way, Julio, one catch for 3 yards last night. So
yeah, I saw him out there running some routes, though. He was talking.
And that means that he and A.J. Brown, though, combined for 11 catches and 140 yards and a touchdown. It's pretty good.
There you go. His mentor. I saw that Julio got asked last week, like, you know, do you still have anything left in the tank? He's like, left in the tank, just wait and see. That's like exactly what he was saying here, too. He's back in the league, so
he is.
Good for him.
I'm interested to see how that goes. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45
We will do that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up at 8 o'clock. Make sure you join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 8 matchup against the Falcons and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
We just let go. Let go of that rope. Got comfortable. Felt like we won the game already.
I really don't know what happened there. I guess they just got a lot of momentum going, and we just weren't able to come back.
It just wasn't assignment sound. You know, certain guys wasn't doing their job, taking turns. You know, I'll take full responsibility for that just because I'm the quarterback, but also I lead this team. It's my team. So being able to take full responsibility in that and having guys' assignment sound for the next game is going to be very important.
Jordan Love. It's time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. An impressive Jordan Love plug in there by Nick Kieser.
Nick, you really love a curb, huh? Big curb guy?
Yeah, it's called meme music for me.
Okay.
Sure.
I mean, I love this song.
Do you?
Yes.
That's good. And you show. Love it? So you listen to this like all the time in your car,
it's
Joe?
It's no. His workout mix.
But when it's on, it makes me feel happy. Yo, I like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Joe is classic.
So we've talked a lot about the Tennessee-Alabama game today to this point. Obviously, Alabama wins. And, Joe, you're going to have to help me with this one because you were there, so you can provide some context on all this. But I will say, I saw a quote that you tweeted out at 6:40
p.m. Just played it.
He did, and he just played it. And I'll read it again for those who may have missed it. Elijah Herring, talking about the Vols, what happened in the second half, said, quote, "We just let go of that rope, got comfortable, felt like we won the game already," was the quote from Elijah Herring. And I heard that, or I guess more accurately, read that from you, and my first thought was, huh? It's Alabama. How could you possibly think that the game was over at that point? Now, as you've pointed out, there were other players in the Tennessee locker room that did not really share the same feeling that way. Like Squirrel White talked about, you know, he felt like the energy was good. And, you know, there's a video that Alabama fans are loving right now of Tennessee coming out of the tunnel in the second half and just, like, yelling at Alabama players and Joe Milton firing a slingshot at him and stuff like that.
So, while in the tunnel?
Yeah, coming out of the tunnel. On the
Joe Milton fired the slingshot?
Into the second half. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Okay.
So they're loving that one. They're loving that. But I did. I read that quote, and I was like, I hope that's not true, because if you went into the locker room with a 20-7 lead against Alabama on the road and you thought to yourself, well, got him, game's over, I don't know what to say to that. So I'm hoping that this is just like Elijah Herring searching for answers after a game and not really being able to find some, because if that's really what happened, I have no words for that. It's just incredible to me.
Yeah, just sort of like, guys, listen.
We got them. Now you go.
Now I want you to enjoy the day. Go out there. This game's over. Just go out there, relax. And, you know,
that's just Alabama.
Yeah. I feel like it was just Herring trying to, like, find an answer. And the way he said it, you know, I get it. But I don't think there was like some, I hope not, like some widespread, you know, complacency or something like
this
that.
This is over.
Won. Yeah. We're good. We're good. You know how it is, like when you try to, in a situation like this, one thing that no one will ever say on the losing side is, yeah, the other team's really good.
Right.
They were better. You know, they just kind of kicked our butts, you know. It's always like, it's not what they did. It's what we didn't do.
Right.
You know. But, yes, as soon as I tweeted that, I saw you and Caroline and other people react to it. I'm like, oh, man, Twitter comes down. But he just played it. I mean, he said those words.
He did.
You know, it's like,
oh, Robbie's going nuts.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, boy, Robbie's going, oh, boy. Better do some damage control on this for Elijah. I just, you know, these guys are asked these questions after this, and they're just going to, you know, they're like throwing out stuff, you know.
Let's get into the chief part of my rant here.
Okay.
Vols fans, I love you. And I feel like I really don't want to have to do this, like, after every time they lose.
We got to figure out a way, if you're a Tennessee fan, to get a little bit of perspective. Like the idea, and I was in conversations with people on Twitter after this game about like the firing of Josh Heupel. It's just amazing to me. Like what? I don't know how you get there. I really don't know how, like, at this point, based on what we've seen, you start seriously considering the firing of Josh Heupel. And look, I get it. People are mad after nobody was more mad than I was on Saturday after that game. But how you allow your brain to get to, well, let's start talking about the job status of Josh Heupel is amazing to me. We talked earlier about like the conversation I was in about, you know, Heupel reaching his ceiling. Maybe he has. I don't know. Like he went 11-2 last year. That's going to be hard to top. 11-2 and winning a New Year's Six Bowl. That's a heck of an accomplishment. Tennessee hadn't done that in 20 years. So maybe he has reached his ceiling. But I'm looking at the total picture. He went 11-2 last year. There's still a chance this team could end up, I don't know, 8-4, 9-3, somewhere in that neighborhood. Which, as you've talked about, is a pretty good year. No, it's not what you hoped. Like you wanted to compete for the East and get to Atlanta and try to win an SEC championship, get into a college football playoff. It's not going to happen. But 8-4, 9-3. Like overall, if let's say they do that and they go, 8-4. You're talking about in 2 years, 11-2, 8-4. The first year he took over a crap roster and was 7-6. He's done a really good job to this point. Oh, by the way, he's got the highest-ranked quarterback recruit you had since Peyton Manning that's going to take over next year, and a top-10 recruiting class. Like, this idea that, like, Heupel is just done at Tennessee after the Alabama loss is mind-boggling to me.
Wow, that's total lunacy. I mean, that is total lunacy. I mean, if you want to talk about, like, you know, the quarterback thing, you know, was he inflated by Hendon Hooker? Okay, maybe. You know, we'll see. I mean, how much of a loss was Alex Golish? I think he was a loss. You really, what you hope is that this year is more about Milton just not being good enough and less about losing Golish, putting in Joey Halsley and not being nearly good enough there.
Yeah.
There's stuff like that. Fair questions. I think the Nico tenure is going to be really important for Josh Heupel, but yeah, that's got to be loud. Small number of people, right?
I hope so. Look, I said it. I thought Heupel was bad Saturday. I thought he did a bad job.
He hasn't had a great year.
Right. So I'm not saying that he's like, you know, Vince Lombardi out there and is some foolproof coach. He's got flaws. And utter falling apart on the road in conference games is a problem, and that's on him at this point. When it happens three times, that's on the coach. Like, you got to get that figured out. So I'm not saying that he's perfect. But overall, like I don't know how you could be like a Tennessee fan familiar with what is all has gone on here, and not be still overwhelmingly encouraged by the job that he's done. I mean, he's done a really good job, and it's not gone well against Florida. That's a terrible loss for Tennessee this year. The second half against Alabama was really bad. I get it. I'm not saying you can't be frustrated. Frustration's fine, and it's fair, and it's warranted. But some of it just gets out of control with this fan base after they lose a game. It's crazy to me.
Well, what I'd like to know, too, is like how many of the people saying that are also were like, you know, making him out to be Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
It's like you fall too deeply in love, you know, and then you immediately want to break up at the first little fight. Just chill out, man. Netflix and chill.
Jeff from Hendersonville says, I don't want him fired. I just want him to run a quarterback sneak on 4th-and-1 with his 240-pound quarterback.
That is a very fair point.
That's fair. I will, and I was, you know, it is kind of amazing. Like, this is an offense to me that is designed, like, philosophically, how can we generate the explosive play? Maybe a little bit more emphasis moving forward from Heupel, like, in terms of, okay, if we need a yard, how do we get it, you know? Probably a little bit more emphasis needed on that side of things.
Yeah. Well, this goes – and I hate to bring up the name, but this does go back to Butch too, right?
Yeah.
That's one – I mean, by golly, Jeremy Pruitt lined up under center and got you a yard, yes, didn't he? He also only got you 119 total yards in the whole game.
I was about to say, the yards part of it was not very expansive when he was there, yes.
There's a lot of fair criticism of Heupel. That's definitely one. I mean, go under center and you use what you have, right? He hasn't had a great year. Overall, it's been very good. Better than you should have expected.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee and Alabama. Get his thoughts on the Titans as well as they prepare for the Atlanta Falcons coming off the bye week. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.